musing on it and meditating on it. I've already quoted this path. If you've been studying with me, you know, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Through all those things, I've been quoting this and going back to it. Recently, I kind of held off because I'm like, okay, we're coming up on Peter and 2 Peter. And I thought, I want to just rest in it a little for a while. Plus, there's so many other things. All the apostles taught this. This isn't like some isolated passage. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in so few places is it so wonderfully and lusciously laid out. Like you ever go to a place where it's like they lay out the food on the table, and over here is here's the pasta, here's the beef, here's this lovely something or other. It's beautiful. It's like it's food, but it's been like it's art, you know. We got refried, twice baked potatoes with swirls on them and sprinkled with little flakes of garnish and a little red paprika on it to make it look beautiful. And then there's all these little hors d'oeuvres of this and that and the other. And it's all so delicious and good to eat. That's what this passage is. It's like this feast of fat things, of good things. Well prepared, fit for consumption. I just want to pig out on this. God has taught me to be have self-control in regards to food, though, I'll tell you that. But that spirit of a desire, when it comes to these things, you don't have to hold back, man. Give it. Give yourself to it. Just give yourself over to the unbridled lust of good things. Of these things. Hope that was taken in the proper knowledge. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Oh, Lord Jesus, I could cry. I could weep when I hear that. I feel like it's like, oh, Peter, if you only knew what we stand against these days, the ungodliness and the way the gospel has been by those who handle this word, how it's been perverted, how it's been just totally, it just, between, I don't know, it's like on one hand I want to weep, and I almost did. On the other hand, I feel like I want to just tear at them with my teeth. I'm feeling both emotions at the same time just about rips me apart. How can this even exist? How can, and here's the thing. All right, I want to be patient with you all who have not heard the truth. I do. Because I read this many times. I guess this is the peace of God. Because it's like, but honestly, you know why I saw it that way? You know why when I read this, I would just sort of skirt over it? As far as the just obvious implications. Because that's what I was taught. I was taught to think of it that way. That righteousness is only a condom that you put on to cover yourself. It's not something to actually, you don't actually stop sinning. You just put Jesus on and be a sinner saint. What blasphemy. He says, I don't want to be negligent to remind you always, but though you know them and are established in the present truth. Oh, would to God that that was true of this age and this time. But truth is, right now, people are not established in that. It has sort of fallen by the wayside. The truth that was present in Peter's time today is it is still the present truth. It has not changed. But the heretics and the servants of Satan and those who serve their own lusts have, because of the itching ears, multiplied the teachers, multiplied the lies, and totally distorted the message that was handed down. Thank God that this word came through unscathed. I mean, to me, considering the gospel we have today, I'm amazed that the word actually survived. Thank God. Praise be to God. His divine power has not failed to deliver us this truth. So in that I rejoice, that even in these dark times, God has revealed it to us. Verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in my remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So, he's saying it is suitable, it is just, that as long as I am in this tabernacle, the body, that was the figure of speech used by the scripture writers. They talk about the tabernacle of our flesh, Peter, Paul, shortly I must put off this tabernacle. And it means tent. Tabernacle is kind of a, we're going camping, bring the tabernacle. Sort of a, it's become almost just a Bible word. Like some things, they just fall out of use in our language, and it's pretty much just the Bible word. This tent, I think of the earthly body as being a tent. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance.